Hallelujah. Yea, my church, and I would say unto you this day, yea, I have set you aside for a special work. Yea, I have set you aside to do the things of my kingdom. And I say unto you this day that as you continue to move in the direction of my kingdom, yea, you shall see great and mighty things. And yea, from time to time I bring them in. From time to time I bring them for instruction. From time to time I bring them that they might be taught and that they might feel the things of me. For yea, I say unto you that I am a mighty God. I have come into this place today to pull down the strongholds of Satan. And yea, I say unto you young people that have come today, you did not just wander into this place. You did not just decide that you were going to come here this morning. For I have a word for you, and I say unto you this day that I set you aside for the propagating of the gospel. Yea, I have called you to be a missionary. Yea, I have called you to be a pastor. Yea, I have called you to be a soul winner. Yea, I have called you to go forth and do the things that I will tell you of. I say unto you that you are in a learning time. It's a learning experience. I'm teaching you of myself. I'm teaching you to feel my spirit. I'm teaching you to hear my word. And I say this day that if you will continue steadfast, if you will read my word, I shall put it deep down within thy spirit. And to my church today, I say unto you, yea, yea, the things that I have called you to do, I begin to see them coming to fruition. For yea, I am the Lord thy God. I am an everlasting Father. I'm a Prince of Peace. Yea, I'm a small child. Yea, I am a king upon a throne. Yea, in me is everything found that you have need of. And I say unto you, lean not to your own understanding, but yea, lean upon the kingdom of God and upon my word. For I shall speak in these coming days, in this year that is to come, this year of jubilee, this year of receiving. I say to you, it shall be a bountiful time, because my word is going forth. Yea, my word is covering all of the earth. For yea, the time is short, and the sickle shall be put in. And when that sickle is put in, I say unto you, the wrath of God shall come forth, but also the joy of the Lord shall be the strength of my people. Yea, look unto the Lord thy God from this day forward. Believe in your heart. Yea, lean not to your own understanding. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Be not envious of the workers of iniquity. But yea, come out and be separate, saith the Lord thy God. Separate in your mind. Separate in your body. Separate in your speech. For yea, they are going to come. They're going to come and be hungry, for they are looking for what you have. And yea, I say unto you this day, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I will not fail you, but I shall go before you. Yea, I shall be a cloud at night and a pillar in the daytime. If you will fix your eyes upon me, saith God, you shall be part and partial of the things that I'm desiring to do. Yea, I desire to use you, saith God. Not inanimate objects, but I desire you. I am a living sacrifice, and I want you to be a living sacrifice for me also. For yea, I would say to you one more time, give your life away, and I shall take you into great places, saith God.
Oh, my people, even my own people who are called by my name, they cry to me, and say, Lord, where are you? Why haven't you met my need? Why haven't you come into my life? How come you haven't demonstrated yourself more fully and more completely? Oh, but I've already met your needs, declares God. When my son died on the cross, he bore all your sin, not part of it, he bore all of it. He bore all your sickness, all your diseases, all your weaknesses, all of your infirmities. He bore it on himself on the cross. And my word tells you, he carried it away. He carried it away. It's not that I haven't moved, says God. It's that many of those who are called by my name have not moved toward me. For they're still waiting and waiting and waiting. And I said, come, come, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's I who am waiting for you, says God. For I've already made preparation. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who sees in advance your needs and has already made provision for everything that you need. All I ask is that you come to me. And when you come unto me, oh, you'll find rest. When you come unto me, you'll find grace. You'll find everything you need has already been provided. But I'm waiting for you to believe. I'm waiting for you to trust me and not your own ability. For when you trust me, I will come. I will be there with you. I already am. If you're born again, I live on the inside of you. And there is no time, there is no distance between you and me. I'm not far off, but I'm near as your voice. To bring me on the scene, says the Lord, all you have to say is Jesus. Yeshua. And I'm on the scene. For I already dwell with you. And I said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Oh, come unto me, my people. Come unto me, my children. Come unto me that you may know the fullness of my joy. That you may be above the things of the world, and you may live in a new dimension that the people of this world can only think of, but they can never enter in. Because it's not by their works, it's not by their ability or their intelligence or their education, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Yea, my daughter, and I would say unto you,
praise you, Father.
From this day forward, there shall be a breakthrough for you.
Praise you, Father.
For yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that love has not ceased, and that love has not deterred, but it has just gotten greater. And yea, my daughter, I say unto you that I am leading you and I am guiding you. Yes, there shall be times of pain. There shall be times of affliction. But yea, my daughter, I say unto you, I shall bring you forth on the other side. Did not I say to this congregation today, to fret not thyself because of evildoers? Yea, my daughter, I say, think not back upon the things that you have done. Think not back of the things of the past, but yea, look unto me.
Yes, God.
For I am the author of your faith. And I tell you from this day forth, I will bring you through. Lean on me. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't allow the enemy to come and say, I can't make it, I can't do it. For I say unto you, you and I together, you will make it.
Yes.
You and I together, I will lift you up.
Yes.
You and I together, I will place the call upon your life. You and I together, I have a work for you to do. And I say unto you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be anointed from on high.
Yes,
for I give unto you a double portion of my Spirit at this
yes.
time to go through and to do the things that you must do. For yea, ye shall be a shining light, and you shall be a beacon for me, saith God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start off with our favorite scripture for our newbies here today. This is a scripture. It's our third year, isn't it? Or it's been. Yeah, I think it's our third year. God gave us a scripture, and we started saying it. And we have seen literal miracles through this scripture. We have seen people miraculously, supernaturally healed by this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we're talking about, I feel like I've been preaching out of the scripture for 3 years, but we're really not. But so much of the scripture talks about what God is doing for us. It says, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Through us. That is so crucial. It's not just about what God does. It's what God does through us, which means we've got to allow God to move through us in his giftings, in his abilities. It's not us. It's Christ in us that we're allowing to move and do those things. And through you, he will diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Amen. Now, we've been talking about death and the law, a real popular subject around Christmas time. Hallelujah. And we've been working on a question of how do we as Christians develop a sin consciousness? Because we have a dilemma. As Christians, we're purified, but we struggle with a sin consciousness because Christ is not fully formed in us. We're still double-minded. We still halt between two opinions. We want to believe God, but this other stands in the way. Well, we're going to talk about that more. In Galatians 3:19, it says, talking about the law, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added, notice, the law was added because of transgressions. Now, there was already sin. The law was added because of the transgressions, and basically because we didn't know what sin was. If you're out in the world and people say, well, you know, that's a sin, you look and go, what? You don't know it's a sin. You don't know that it's wrong. Everybody around you does it. Your culture does it. You see it on TV. You see it in the movies. You see politicians saying, I believe this is okay. I believe this is all right. You know, there's a new study. They want to legalize marijuana, you know, and a lot of states have. And unfortunately, Maryland is opening up the cannabis farms in our locality for medical marijuana. They still don't even know what to prescribe it for. But a new study has come out and said, marijuana rots your brains. Now, they didn't say it that way, but hello, who knew? You know, it's like, who knows this stuff? It's like, listen, I was in college. I never did marijuana, but all of my roommates were on marijuana, heroin, or cocaine, or all three, every one of them. And I remember, I won't give his name. His first name was Russell. Came from an elite family. I remember he was doing LSD one night, and he came in and woke me up out of bed and said, Gordon, I got to talk to you. Come in, out to the living area of our dorm room and talked with me. So I got out of bed, and I'm half awake, and I go out there, and here he is. He just sits in a chair and just watches me. I'm saying, Russ, what are you doing? He says, man, you should see yourself. You're changing shapes and colors. It's really cool. I said, are you on drugs? Yeah, man. I said, I'm going to bed. I just got up and walked away. He's like, yeah, now they're trying to tell you, all these drugs are good for you. Well, listen, if you watch TV, even on the drugs that are medically positive for you, listen to the side effects. Causes hemorrhaging, causes this, causes blood clots, causes heart failure, causes suicide feelings. And if you have any of these symptoms, call me. Well, I know a lot of people have those symptoms and they're not on anything. Do you know most? See, we're trying to cover up sin. That's my point. We're trying to cover it up. You know, antidepressant drugs, you know what they do for you? They limit your range of emotions. That's their goal. So you don't get too high, but you don't get too low. And every antidepressant drug says there may be thoughts of suicide. Thank you. I'm depressed enough, and now you're warning me I may want to kill myself even more than what I already do. It's like, thank you. See, but we're trying to cover up sin. Christians do it too. We just, instead of trying to get rid of it, we just cover it up. If I go to church often enough, God won't see my sin and won't hold it against me. We make deals with God. We make deals with ourselves. Well, if I knew a church years ago, and they asked me to preach on a Sunday night, so I went over to them, and we started in our service, and the singer got up and sang, and boy, had a really nice voice. And she was done and she sat down, the pastor, I was sitting behind him, he turns around to me and says, tell me she's anointed or what? And I wanted to say, she's not. I found out later she had been on a drug high and alcohol high the night before. That was her method of operation. She'd get high on Saturday night and come to church, and she'd sing, and everybody would say, oh, what a beautiful voice. You are really anointed by God. Do you know you can have a beautiful voice with no anointing? Do you know you can have no voice and an anointing? Yes. And you sound as good as a person with a good voice? Because it's the anointing that separates. It's the anointing that makes a difference. Well, that's in our own lives. It's the anointing that lifts us up above sin. It's the anointing that breaks the power of sin in our lives. Amen? And God doesn't want you to cover up sin. He wants to get rid of it in your life as though it never happened, to get rid of a sin consciousness so you can be free from guilt and condemnation. Amen? Now, I don't think I finished all of Galatians 3:19, but it says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of sin, because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now, who is that? Jesus. In other words, God added the law because of our sin until Jesus would come. Why? Because Jesus was going to take care of it. It says, and it was appointed, the law was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We went through part of this last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on some of it. But Romans chapter 7, verse 6 says, but now, everybody say now. Now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, how many of you understand Jesus did not do away with the law? He fulfilled it. He completed it. But Jesus has never said the law is of no significance or the law is of no value. Again, we have politicians today. If we get rid of the law and we stop calling things immoral or wrong, then we'll be all okay. No, if just because we don't call it immoral, it's still immoral. Just because we don't call it illegal, it's still illegal. Jesus went so far to say, if a man even thinks about it, it's the same as if he did it. So the law only comes to reveal our sin to us. It doesn't come to create sin. It just comes to make us aware of sin. So in verse 6, now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So you can be forgiven of sin and still serve in the oldness of the letter. You can be born again, cleansed, made righteous, and still serve by the letter of the law. That's why, in a nutshell, that's why many Christians have a sin consciousness, because they're still living by the letter of the law. And every time they make a mistake, you've just violated every law. We said the other week, you know, we know murder is wrong. Did you know white lies are wrong too? If you do a white lie, well, that's not near as bad as murder. But the Bible says if you break one law, it's the same as breaking them all. So if you tell a white lie, you're now a murderer too. And see, the guilt comes on us because you have transgressed. You have broken the law. And if you're trying to live by the law, by the oldness of the law, and you're trying to keep every jot and every tittle, and you're trying to do all the right things, when you break one of it, you're guilty of all of it. And so you're always walking under condemnation. Why? Because you're trying to follow God by the oldness of the letter and not the newness of the Spirit. And as long as you're trying to live by the letter of the law, you'll always be condemned. You'll always be judged because you're always guilty. How many of you in here without Christ are perfect? Notice I said without Christ. We're all guilty, amen? We've all violated the law. Well, Gordon, you're the pastor. I know you don't. Thank you for your faith. We all violate it, me included, amen? There's things that cross my eyes. There's things that come across my head. And sometimes you just meditate on it. It's like, no, that's just as though you just did it. Yeah, ha, 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 ha. It's grace that sets us free, amen? But if you're living by the oldness of the letter, you're always going to be in condemnation, and you're always going to have a sin consciousness. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, listen, sin, taking opportunity by the commandment. Sin was already there, but now sin has the commandment to judge you and to condemn you and point out to you, you're not right, you're not good enough. Well, everybody else, listen, when I was growing up, I was a good kid. I mean, if I would tell you my sins, you would laugh at me. But God got a hold of me one day and said, you deserve to go to hell. Even though I hadn't sinned bad, I was still deserving to go to hell. Why? Because I wasn't believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And when he showed me that, it totally radicalized my life. I was in the ministry. I was in the ministry, but I was the good kid. I was a quiz kid in Bible school. My father was a pastor. Have I ever told you that? And all these different things. I was a good kid, and I was still going to hell. See, it's not the lineage. It's not even the teaching or the training. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And see, as long as I'm trying to live by the oldness of the letter, I'm always in condemnation. But oh, if I walk in the Spirit of Christ, I am free of guilt and condemnation. Amen. He goes on to say, see, sin took the opportunity by the commandment. Now the commandment, every time I break it, the commandment goes, It's like, but I kept most of the law. When I was growing up, I kept most of the law. Like I said, you would laugh at me if I told you the sin that I did. But yet the law had to come into my life to convict me. It produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, sin didn't have its full effect in me until I became aware that it was sin. Until I became aware that what I was doing was wrong. Because I did a lot of things I didn't think it was wrong. I didn't feel guilty about it. I didn't feel bad about it. But when the law came, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, I could begin to see the grace of God at work in my life. Because although I was the good kid, I was still going to hell. He said, his grace is what saved me. His grace protected me from my roommates. Because I'm a very pliable person. It's a wonder to be around all my roommates and not go into drugs. It was absolutely amazing. I was the kid that walked them home from the drunk parties. I was the kid that when they called the police at a drug party, and nobody knew it, but the police can keep you on hold when you call them. And we couldn't disconnect the phone. You never saw 25 kids split so fast from a party in your life. And I had to be sure most of them got home because I was the only one not on something. See, I was a good kid. But I'm still going to hell. Because I wasn't trusting in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, to bring Zoe. See, God gave us a commandment to bring us life. Not to kill us, to give us life. And you can't have the life. How do I say it? You cannot be raised from the dead until you've been crucified. And you cannot be set free of your sin until you realize it's sin. But if you're still constantly living in the past, you're always going to be living in the sin and the letter of the law, and you'll always feel guilty because you've not stepped over into the realm of the Spirit. Let's go on. And the commandment which was to bring life, or Zoe, I found to bring death. For sin, again, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. See, sin deceives us by the commandment, or you could say the law deceives us, because we think, if I keep the law, I'm okay. That's the deception in the law. The law, huh? In the sin. What did I say? Yeah, okay. Yeah, the deception is the sin that I think if I keep the law, I'm okay. And so I can put up with sin in some areas because basically I'm keeping the law. And I can justify myself by that, but I'm still in sin. But it deceives me thinking I'm basically okay. I was deceived till I was in my first church on some things. I'd given my heart to the Lord. I was believing and trusting in him, but I didn't understand some of this stuff. But I'm preaching. I'm a pastor. We had a pastor come in, several years ago. And I was teasing him. I asked him, I said, would you like to know the Lord? And we just kind of laughed about it and everything. Well, a couple days later, his wife came in and says, you know, my husband really wished you would have pursued him because he's never accepted Christ. He'd been in the ministry for about 25 years, had never asked Jesus into his life. But he's pastoring and was a nice man. But because he had not believed in Jesus Christ, he's going to hell. But he's a nice guy. But if you're living by the letter of the law, you're deceived thinking everything's okay. The law was never meant to forgive you of sin. Verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear to be sin, producing death in me through what is good, so that the sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. How do I say this? It wasn't the law, but it was sin exposed by the law that produced death in us. Not the law, but the sin exposed by the law produced death in us. Verse 14, for we know, now this is key, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now think about that. The law is spiritual. But if you take it as being this is the way that it is, and you're living naturally, you're still living carnally. The law is supernatural. The law comes as a tool of the Spirit of God to convict us of sin. Why? That you can repent and come to God. And that is the purpose of the law. Now, let me give you a scripture on that. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So it's the Spirit that gives life. It's not the law, it's the Spirit. Verse 15. Now, I like this whole series and through here. It says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. In other words, instead of doing what I want to do, I end up doing the very thing I don't want to do. Anybody been like that besides me? Lord, why am I doing this? I don't want to do it, but you just can't stop yourself. You just go ahead and do the stupid thing, and you know you're going to get in trouble. You know it's going to hurt. You know, so many drunks I knew in college, they knew they'd have a hangover the next morning, but they still got drunk. They still did what they did. Criminals still do what they do, knowing that the police are going to find them and put them back in prison, but they'll still go ahead and do it. And they don't want to do it, but they just do it because they don't have the ability to stop it because they're living by the law instead of by the Spirit. We'll get to that here in a minute. Have you ever, here's an easy example. Have you ever gone on a diet and gained weight? See, I know I want to lose weight. I'm going on this diet, but man, about 8 o'clock at night, you get so hungry. And you grab the popcorn and the cheese, and you sit down and eat a pound of popcorn and a pound of cheese. You say, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. I'm on a diet. You know, it's just like it doesn't work. But I want to do the right thing, but I just can't get myself to do it. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. See, if I'm wanting to do the very thing that's good, I'm actually in agreement with the law that the law itself is good. But now, verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. See, there's a compulsion in our flesh to satisfy the flesh. And even though I want to do what's right, my flesh, if it is not trained and disciplined and in submission to my spirit or to my soul, and if my soul is not in submission to the Spirit, I'm in trouble. Because my flesh will just rise up and my flesh will do what my flesh wants to do, even though I don't want to do it. But it's all because I'm not submitted. My flesh isn't submitted to my soul, and my soul isn't submitted to the power of God. So I keep doing the things that my flesh wants me to do. I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. And every time I do that, I'm just proving that the law is true. And it's no longer I that do it. It's the sin in my fallen nature. It's the sin of my flesh. It's the sin, the lust in my mind that keeps causing me to do the very things I don't want to do. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. 19, for the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. The very thing I don't want to do is the thing I'm doing. Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's the second time he said it. It's like we get under so much condemnation because, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it. And then you get under the law that you know you're not supposed to do it, but now I'm condemned because I can't do it. And then when you get condemned enough, you just give up. Anybody been there? You just throw it all in. It's like, I can't do this. Right, you're absolutely right. You can't do this. But you're trying to use the law to get you free from sin, and all law does is convict you of sin. Because you're not walking in the newness of the Spirit. Christ isn't fully formed in you. Well, what do I do? How do I get out of this predicament? Turn to Romans 7, verse 21. I find in a law that evil is present with me. Oh, that's not a good thing to say today. This is a law. This is a spiritual principle that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So I've got two things going on inside of me. One, the Spirit of God is calling me because I know I shouldn't do these things, but the sin that is within me won't let me free to do the thing that I want to do. And it holds me captive. I'm trapped. And it appears, well, I'll say it like that, in the natural, there's nothing you can do about it. Because the more you try to live by the letter of the law, the more you try to not break the law, the more condemned you become that I'm not living to the fullness of the law. The more aware you become of my weaknesses, of my failures, of my bad thoughts, my bad attitudes. Have you ever tried to get your confession right? And we're going to clean up our mouth. Boy, I'm not going to cuss anymore at all. And blankety blank blank, I swear to God, I'm not going to cuss again. What did you just say? I cussed, didn't I? If you try to get, I am not going to speak death out of my mouth anymore. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to let death come through me. And someone says that gives you a joke. You say, man, that just killed me. Okay. Or you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you one of his famous bad reports. And you think, I'm going to die. So, well, no, I don't, that's not what I mean, but you said it. Now, the scary thing is Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my mind is filled with the law, with legalism. My mind is filled with all the lack that I have. So what comes out of my mouth is what's in my heart. Because I haven't renewed my mind to the things of God. I'm digging a vicious hole here, aren't I? It's like, what is the answer to all this stuff? Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How am I going to get out of this spot? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I'm still caught in this struggle, but Jesus has come. Now, I said the law was spiritual. I'll give you a quick point here. The law also introduced sacrifice because the law said if you sacrifice this, commit this, then if this sacrifice will cover that sin. And every year they had the Day of Atonement, and every year they offered one sacrifice for all the nation, for all the people. But individually you were supposed to bring your sacrifice in on a regular basis to sin or to sacrifice and offer up to God. But Old Testament law was spiritual in that the sacrifice was a forerunner of what was yet to come but hadn't occurred yet. So Old Testament sacrifice can only cover the sin. It cannot do away with sin. That's why some of us still have a sin consciousness. We've covered the sin, but we don't trust God to remove it. Because we're still walking in the letter of the law and not in the Spirit of God. Go to Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, say now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, if I'm walking according to the Spirit of God, I am free of condemnation. Why? I know God has forgiven me. I know that all, say all of my sin was carried to Him on the cross. Now, I've said this for years and years and years, and I said it knowing it's true and hoping to God that I was right. And finally, I think it was last year, I heard a national TV preacher, Creflo Dollar, say the same thing. And I was so excited to hear another preacher say it, because like, yes, I am right. I'm confirmed by this. This is what I've said. When Jesus died on the cross, He died carrying all of your past sin. He also carries all of your present sin. He also carries all of your future sin that you haven't committed yet. And the Bible tells us if Jesus didn't do that, then when you make a new sin, Jesus has got to be sacrificed again to cover that sin. Now think about it. How do we know, as Christians today, how do we know that our past sin is forgiven? Because Jesus died on the cross. We say, hallelujah. But Jesus died 2,000 years ago. To Him, your past sin was ahead of Jesus. You hadn't committed it yet. But Jesus on the cross carried the sin that when we come to Christ, we say, oh, God's forgiven me my sin until I sin again. Here's the reality. Jesus bore all your sin for all what would be His future, which includes all of your past, present, and future sin. Otherwise, Jesus must be crucified again and again and again and again, and that's not faith. If you mess up tomorrow, which I could guarantee you that you will, there's 613 Old Testament laws. I'm sure you're going to mess up one of them. You know, ignorance of the law is no defense. Isn't that reassuring? It doesn't matter whether you know it or not. Why? Because sin dwells in your flesh. But if I'm walking by the Spirit of God, I am free because I know Jesus has carried all my sins for me, my past, my present, and my future sins. This is walking in the Spirit. It's not saying, oh, you can sin and go on about. No. It's sin is still sin. But praise God, I don't have to be in condemnation for it because with my mind, I'm agreeing with God that that's wrong. It's not just accepting the sin. Well, you know, this is just how I am. Did you get born again? Well, yeah. Well, then who's the new you? If any man be in Christ, listen, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And the next verse says, and all things are of God. So if I'm believing in Jesus Christ, okay, the law is still there. The law is still valid. It's holy. It's a good thing. It tells me the parameters. It tells me when I goof up. But praise be to God, He has already covered it. Already covered it. I'm a new creature. See, it's sin nature in me that makes me want to go back and sin. That draws me back. It's that flesh nature. And to be real honest and blunt about it, your flesh hasn't been transformed yet. So there's areas of our flesh we're still struggling with every single day. But praise be to God, we don't have to let our flesh define who we are. Because Satan is no longer my father. Remember Jesus, I think it's John 8, He told the Pharisees, He says, you do the things that your father did. I said, what do you mean? He said, the devil's your father and you're of the devil. Think about it, to religious leaders, you're of the devil. Well, why do you say that? Because you seek to kill me. That's just what Satan would like to do, to kill you, to kill Jesus. Our father's not our father is Abraham. Oh, if Abraham was in your father, you'd rejoice in me because Abraham saw me and rejoiced in my day. Well, God is our Father. No, if God were your Father, now listen, if God were your Father, you would do the works of your Father. See, if there's a new nature on us, we're still struggling. We're still growing. There's still things we don't understand. But inside of me, God, I want to please you. God, I want you to consume my life. I want you to be a burning flame on the inside of me that burns out all that sin, all that oldness, all that burn it out of me, God. And boy, sometimes God has to bring it up to face to face with you so you can get rid of it. Because if he doesn't, you're still caught in it. And our past should not define us. Our future should define us as Christians. But unfortunately, even for many Christians, our past is still defining who we are. Because we're still living in the past. Now, if you go to jail and you talk to some prisoners that are in jail, they can't get away from their past. But they can be free of it. Your past will have consequences. You got to learn how to deal with that. But praise God, that doesn't define who you are. Because we are of our Father, God. I was brought up in a denomination that said we're to conform our lives to Jesus Christ. Except when it comes to joy and happiness. Except when it comes to healing. Except when it comes, wait a minute, to conform ourselves to Jesus. What are you talking about? We should conform ourselves to the death and the suffering of Jesus. Now, I don't want to trample on too many religious toes. But Jesus has already suffered and died. Right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. What good does it do for me? I'm bearing the sufferings of Jesus. It's so hard. I can hardly bear it. Jesus already carried that. What are you doing? But it makes the flesh feel real good sometimes. Hello? Some intercessory prayer gets over into this. I'm feeling the weakness and the infirmity of the people I'm praying for. Well, that's not always bad, but you can carry that over to such a point that you think you are vicariously suffering for them, and if you're not careful, the same diseases and same situations you're praying for them to get out of, you'll take on yourself, thinking you're being holy, thinking you're being spiritual. You're just being stupid. I'm going to lay hands on you and forgive you of sin, because Jesus said, I have the power to do that, which, by the way, only God can forgive sin. Now, think about that one a little bit. But I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to take your sin on me. Listen, I can't carry it. I wasn't meant to carry it. As a priest, I'm taking it and I'm offering it up to God. I'm getting rid of this as quick as I can. Understand that? Because only Jesus can carry your sin away. I can't carry it. I can't do it. I can point you to the man, but this is one of the things that we have to grow up in God. Where am I? Romans 8, 1. Let me read 1 and 2. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. Now, he's been talking about the law. He's been talking about that guilt, that condemnation. Who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws in operation. There's the law of sin and death that comes through the law, and the law comes to lift that up and to magnify that and to let you know your weaknesses and your failures, but there's the law of the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the newness of this law of the Spirit. I'm going to walk in His cleansing. When I fail, oh God, I thank you. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want this to define who I am. God, help me to be a better person. Help me, God, to grow up in you. Help me, God, to get free of these things that keep pulling me back into the same old pit. Thank you, Lord, that you set me free from that. Thank you, God, you have severed the ties. I am a new man in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, and all things are of God. Amen. This is who we are in the Spirit. This is who we are in God. Well, brother, I just can't believe that. Well, then you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to smile. Ha, 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 ha. Now, for those of you that don't know, just a rehearsal on the ha, ha, ha. We listened to a sermon the other day by Mark Hankins, and he said, when you ha, ha, ha at the devil, it's because the devil is saying, this time God won't set you free. But God set you free last time. But the devil comes up, well, this time it won't work. Wait a minute, if God did it once, he'll do it again. Amen. Does God change? No, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So when the devil tries to say, oh, you're being sucked back into that old vortex and you're going back into those old ways, you're just a dog and you'll always be a dog, go, ha, ha, ha. It won't work on me this time. I've grown. I'm a little bit smarter. Devil, you're a liar. And whatever you tell me, I know is a lie. I don't have to check it out. I don't have to listen to scripture. I don't have to get a sermon tape on it. If the devil spoke it to me, it's a lie, because he is a liar and the father of it. Walking in the newness of the Spirit of God frees me from the condemnation of the law. And the law is holy. The law is just. But I have a higher law. I walk in the law of the Spirit. And that law sets me free from guilt and condemnation. And every time I start getting under guilt and condemnation, now, I'm not saying it's a license to just go ahead and live the way that you are, because God's calling us up to a higher level. But every time the devil tries to just condemn you, no. I'm not going back there. I am not returning to my vomit. I am not returning to that kind of life. I am not going back into that spot, because Jesus died to set me free, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit of liberty. I'm going to walk in the power of Almighty God. And he says I'm free. And I'm going to confess, to agree with God, that God is right. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am in right standing with him. And I'm that way not because I am so good, but because Jesus is so good. And I'm going to believe him above everything else. And if any man tries to come and condemn me, no. Not going there. Not going there. If I miss it, I'll apologize. I'll make it right. But I am not going to walk in condemnation. I'm not going to constantly be walking in an inferior attitude just because I goofed up. I'm not going to let people put me in that spot. I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ, and I will to do what my Father does. And my Father is Almighty God. That defines me. That separates me from the things of the world. I am of God, and God is in me. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Lord God, we give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. You are so good to us. You are so merciful, God, and you are so powerful that, God, you have released us from the power of sin and death. Lord, when Jesus came back and appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, behold, I have the keys to death and to hell and the grave. Hallelujah. God, you disarmed the devil and took away all of his equipment used against us. We are on to his schemes, and God, we trust in you. We are free because you have set us free. You have made us free, and we will not live in the past, but God, we're going to live in the things of God. We're going to live in the things that you have provided for us, because you are our provider for every good thing. For this, Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.